Have you ever been in a conversation and thought to yourself, what is the point? Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and maybe you just feel like the conversation is going nowhere, or maybe you feel the tension, or you're trying to understand them and they're trying to understand you and you just wanted to give up? I'm here to say, you're in the right spot, first of all, if you've just felt like sometimes conversations are hard. And second of all, I'm here just to come alongside you to say, I get it. But first, hey, thanks for being here. My name is Jessica Hoddle, and I'm your host. Today, we're talking about 5 tips to have a healthy conversation. And since I love questions so much, why don't we just start off with another question? Have you ever thought about the lens through which your topic of conversation tends to get blurry because of the pain and experiences you have had in this life? I know for me personally, and I talk a lot about this in my 4th book, Face Off With Your Feelings. It is coming and I can't wait. I'm so excited. You make sure you follow me on Instagram at Jessica Hoddle, because I'm doing the cover reveal of, I'm just so excited about the cover. But most importantly, we're going to be announcing all the free stuff, things that are coming. Pre-orders are going to be starting in October, which is insane because I've been writing this book since 2019. But this book is really for you if you just want to be well. And today's topic is no different than, hey, I want to learn to have a healthy conversation. I guess you could say that I have not been this type of person that has been wanting to pursue healthy conversation for a long time, because most of my life I spent really in knots in my stomach, where my palms would get sweaty, where my heart would start to race anytime I would be in a conversation that might have any kind of confrontation. I wanted to put my feet to the ground, turn around, and either stomp away or run away, and very few between was it ever just to walk away. I wanted to be in a conversation to prove my point. I wanted to prove my point so that they could see that I was smart, that I knew what I was talking about. But the more that I understand conversation, it really has to deal with two people, and two people coming from different perspectives and different point of views, how they were raised, their beliefs, their doctrines. Like, all of this matters when we go into a conversation with somebody. We can't just go into a conversation just thinking about ourselves, because if we're just thinking about ourselves and our point of view and how we're going to just nail them with all of our, you know, resources and things we believe, that person's already going to have their wall up, just as if somebody approached you that way. I want you to think of this as, we run on love like a car runs on fuel. So all of these scriptures I am about to read are to fill us. They are to reassure us. They are to awaken us to the fact of, really, one, that God is love, but that his scripture is clear on this idea that confrontation, conversation, and what it means to really enter into this place of sanctification and becoming more like Jesus. Because, you know, I grew up in this home where I saw both sides. I saw the physical abuse and I saw emotional abuse, the manipulation, the coercion, the, you know, if I do this for you, then you have to do this for me. And I've seen this play out in my life. But what happened was, since I saw so much confrontation, I don't think I saw one healthy conversation. I saw a lot of confrontation, meaning just fighting and yelling and cuss words back and forth, that I then saw the repercussion of those type of conversations, which led me to want to avoid them altogether. Because I thought, if this is the outcome of a conversation, I'm going to keep all of my opinions to myself. But when we read through scripture, we see this healthy conversation, this wanting to go to your brother, the forgiveness of sins, and how important this is to God. So let's look at Matthew 18, 15 through 17. I'm going to read a couple here right in order, and then we get into the juicy tips for you. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to even to listen to even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. This is one of the starting points for us to even begin to have the conversation. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. So we've been given these steps, because then if they don't listen, say maybe you try to reconcile or you try to talk through it and they don't listen, then you go to somebody else and you take one or two others along with you to help this conversation, to be able to witness and to change and to get to the heart of the other person. And then I love where Romans 12, 17 through 21, in my Bible, the subtitle is called Behave Like a Christian. And it says, repay no evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not become overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And I think this is important because we're really thinking of this idea of, okay, how am I to treat somebody going into this conversation? Repay no evil for evil. If they're yelling at you, if they're trying to persuade you or manipulate you, that is evil. That is of the flesh. That is not a fruit of the spirit, right? So how am I to repay this kind of evil that's coming at me? Well, I don't repay, but I give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. This is where the characteristics and the sanctification comes from in a conversation. You know, are we being led by the spirit? Or are we being led by the flesh? Context, Paul is talking about putting away the earthly things that bring death and remember the new life in Christ that we have. Colossians 3, 8 through 11. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your own self with its practices and put on your new self, which is being renewed in what? That's my little emphasis, in the knowledge, in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. And then a little bit further down, 13 through 14, it says, bear with each other and forgive one another if you have any grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And all of these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Again, let's go back to that analogy. We run on love like a car runs on fuel. Our conversations can speak truth, can be convicting through the Holy Spirit, right? Through us, which is going to convict the other person, vice versa. Or if we're just trying to have a conversation in regular dialogue, we want to go into, well, how am I first starting my conversation? Why am I saying what I'm saying? Is it going to be helpful, hurtful? Is it going to provoke question? Is it maybe going to bring conviction? Is it going to bring condemnation? How are my words speaking? Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Let's think about that for just a moment. When we think about when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes his enemies to be at peace with him. Just a little bit ago, we read about a scripture that says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. We do not have to go and try to create our own justice, our own vengeance. We can be people that rise up, that speak for the truth, that stand on the truth, that stand for freedom. Because here's the thing, guess who's the creator of freedom? God. God is the creator of freedom. Guess who is the creator of slavery? Satan. So we can trust, right, that God is going to take care of us and the other person. So now that we kind of, I lay this foundation, right, of some scriptures just to get us thinking that it is clear. And there's so many more, of course, about and stories of just interactions, encounters. We can see in the Joshua and Caleb, I actually talk a lot about this story in my book, Face Off With Your Feelings, where Joshua and Caleb, the way that they saw the promised land, even though there was enemies to defeat, the way they saw it was different than the other 10 spies. So Gideon and his army that shrunk to 350, we have to be able to see differently. And this is no different than having a conversation and having a healthy one. How we see the other person matters. So let me just preface this as well before we get into the five tips, is that men and women typically communicate in different ways. Not always. I mean, one of our good friends, he is more emotional than analytical. Okay. But most men are typically analytical, and women may think more emotionally. It's just sometimes just the way God created us. It's not an all the time thing, but it's just a some of the time thing. It's just men are typically more analytical and think in very routine and structure most of the time. And women, we just are like, how do you feel? What's going on? And so we kind of can butt heads a lot of times if we're trying to evoke an emotion out of a man when they typically don't think like that. Learning how each other communicates is going to help you so much. And this is not even, again, just for romantic relationships. This is just friendships. I have learned this a lot, especially in friendships. We don't talk about healthy friendships enough. Conflict, I want to say this, conflict is not bad. You can have extremely healthy conflict, work through it, talk about it, but it's our willingness to pursue the relationship. It's being humble and saying, I'm sorry. It's being humble to say, what is your point of view? Let me hear you out. But okay, let me just get to the points. Okay, number one, let's get to the point. When we're having a conversation, we need to learn to share what we are really feeling and experiencing versus beating around the bush. We do this a lot, ladies. I often think of the one just, you know, where you might say, it's really cold in here. And you're hoping that the person, maybe it's a romantic relationship, that you're thinking, well, they're going to turn off the fan or they're going to turn the heat on in the car. We beat around the bush because we want them to know how to take care of us without ever addressing our needs. I don't know why we do this, but we do this. We need to learn to just get to the point. Hey, if you're cold, can you ask him to turn the heat on? Can you ask him to turn the fan off? Get direct. If you're in just a friendship relationship and something hurt you, you don't have to use sarcasm or be passive aggressive, which I'm going to get to. You can just say, hey, this made me feel sad. When this happened, I was hurt. When you said those words, it made me question X, like whatever it was that upset you. The most important thing that when we want to get to the point about being direct, being honest, we want to replace that you language with I language. So this is not a time for us to pass the blame, which we typically do. Blame causes defenses to go up and listening to go down. So this will look like, you made me feel this way. If you did this, then things would be better. You want to actually change that to I language. I feel sad when these words are said. I get angry when XYZ happens. Always saying I, because you don't want to start blaming somebody else. You want to acknowledge your experience as it's happening so that they can honor the story that you're telling them versus you just being like, you did this and you should have done this and you, without really also taking the responsibility of your story and your side of the things as well. So sharing honestly is not about blaming anyone, but fully expressing the issue from both perspectives. This is typically, again, passive aggressive communication is like a tick. I want you to think of a tick, like, you know, that if you're in the woods, you can get a tick and it a tick slowly digs its way into your skin until its whole body is immersed and causes problems. Not sharing or being direct becomes a slow and painful process of keeping everything in, which eventually festers within us and causes more damage. Okay, number two, focus on the issues, not the person. Sometimes we get so caught up in belittling the other person because of how they made us feel that we never really get to the root of the issue. If we are having a conversation, we really want to address how to solve the problem, not to fix the other person. Woo! Okay, we do this, don't we? I was kind of saying earlier, if you would just, you know, pick up your toys, clean your room, da-da-da-da-da, then, right? If you would just do this, we try to change the person. If you would just read my mind, then things would be so much better and I'd be so much happier. We want to get to the root of the issue. We want to think about, why is this person not doing this? Why are they acting this way? Why are they behaving this way? And going to them. So if they're upsetting you, or they keep saying these things, or their actions are not following their words, we want to just go to the issue. We don't want to, again, attack the person. What is the issue that's maybe causing this person to do this? This is going to take a lot of humble pie. And I say this because I love you and I know that you want to have healthy conversations, but to be able to say, hey, I don't understand why this is happening or why this keeps coming up. Can you maybe share with me what's going on? Or, you know, is there something I don't know about? What is going on behind the scenes that maybe I could help you with or get a better understanding? Again, just focus on the issues, not the person. Number three, listen to their side. One of the hardest things for us to do is hear how we hurt people. Oh man, it like makes my heart hurt, right? And I'm sure it does with yours as well. It hurts when we hurt someone or did something wrong or messed up. And we want to run from the pain because the enemy tries to lead us right into shame, right? When both sides are heard, though, is where compassion and understanding meet. When both sides are expressed is where we have a starting point on resolution. So to be clear, understanding does not mean agreement. I want to say that again. Understanding does not mean agreement. You can understand that person's perspective without trying to change them and without saying, I agree with you. To understand does not mean that we agree with what they are saying, but we hear them. We are saying, I hear you, and this is why they came to that conclusion. That's it. If all we do is go into a conversation wanting to be right and to be heard, right? That self-righteousness, that our point is right. We neglect to hear what the other person is experiencing, and we lose the opportunity to get to the bottom of it. Whether we are right or wrong, we get to practice being, from James 1, 19 through 20, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Number four, be clear to hear. Okay, let me talk about this. See, what we hear and what someone else says can be two different things. When we are talking with somebody, a good habit to have is to repeat what the other person is saying to us. You know, paraphrase their words and ask them if what you said was correct. That way we are not assuming what they said, but confirming what they said. My pastor started saying this, and I now say this a lot, and I've said it a lot on the podcast. Listen to what I'm saying, not what you're hearing. Depending on our view of certain beliefs or certain situations in the world or what's happening, no matter what's going on, we're going to have a belief that we carry about that and a doctrine. And if we want to speak effectively and have a healthy conversation, we need to make sure that we're listening to what the person is saying and not what we're hearing, right? Because we're going to hear according to our pain, according to our beliefs. But we need to make sure that we're understanding what they're saying by saying their words back to them. when we do that, we're not going, okay, but what they're really saying is that they hate me, that they don't care what I believe. No, we want to actually just go, nope, am I understanding you correctly? That what you're saying is XYZ about XYZ. Number five, we want to think about communication style and boundaries. This is can be a whole topic in itself, but everyone communicates differently based on how they were taught or the level of pain or their experiences. And I actually talk a lot about this in, I'm going to link it below, where I talk about how to not care about what people think. And I go a little bit further on the different communication styles, but everybody communicates differently, especially again on their pain level and how they were taught. So we want to pay attention to the words that they use and be sure not to be easily offended, which I know it makes your like hair stand up on your arms when we think about being offended and not being offended easily. But nowadays, if I can just be so blunt and honest to say that we hold offense to a lot of things, but we need boundaries to be in place so there is mutual respect. And some people are ready to talk about things right away, and others might need a few days to process. Again, this is where healthy conversation comes in, where we go, what is it that you need right now? Because you might want to talk about it right away, but the other person might not. Knowing that gives you both the space to go, oh, they just need some time. Versus us, you know, in our mind going, they don't want to talk to us and they hate us, da, 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 da. But maybe they just need some time. Communicate. I always like to say this. I say, use your words and let me know because I want to understand. So know their style and what both of you need to have this healthy conversation. For example, you know, if someone brings up something from our past, not dealing with the current conversation or situation, we can kindly repoint them back to the truth without going into our past. And I think this is especially important for people we do not know or have a working relationship with. Another example is if we have forgiven someone for a wrong, whatever they did is forgiven and in the past. We cannot continue to bring up their past forgiveness to prove our point in the present moment. This one has been hard for me. So, you know, just kind of playing this out, meaning that if I have forgiven my husband or my best friend over something that I said, look, you're forgiven, it's okay. Then maybe they forgot something. Maybe they said something. I can no longer go back or go in 5 months if another situation happens and go, but you did this to me 5 months ago. I can't because I already said it was forgiven. And I want us to think about, what if God did that with us? Like, what if Jesus going to the cross, forgiven our sins, and then he was like, but in 5 months, you're going to do it again. And then, you know, it's not forgiven anymore. Like, he's not holding our sins against us. They're taken care of. And this is one of the hardest things for us. But again, there's so many layers, but these are just five tips to get us started on the healthy conversation. And it does take two people. But here's the thing, you can go into the conversation healthy yourself. And then you can decide based on the other person if you're going to be able to have this healthy conversation. And if not, you can set up the boundary. Hey, right now, I don't know if you're in a position to have this conversation, and that's okay. Maybe we can touch base on this in a month or 2 months, or, you know, you let me know when you think it's time. It's okay to say and ask exactly for what you need. So I just want to encourage you with some final things. I want you to stay committed and stay connected. Every relationship is going to look different. When things come up, shutting down is easier than having a conversation. But here's what I 100% believe with every ounce of my bone, is that people are worth fighting for. I want you to think about a time that maybe somebody wanted to give up on you, but they didn't. And you felt seen and you felt heard and you felt loved. So there's going to be times where people come into your life and they're going to probably hurt you. The depth that we love is the depth that we will feel pain. But there are people that are worth fighting for. And, you know, I talked about another episode, the lie that everyone should get all of you. If you haven't listened to that one as well, make sure you listen to that, because I talk about our spheres of influence and the people and the circles that should be getting the most of us. This is going to be important. a lot of our healthiness comes from our healing. And that's why I wrote my fourth book. And it's so important to me because the lens, the blurriness of my own eyes, the veil has been lifted and it's still being lifted in certain areas. But I want you to know that God wants you well. He wants you to be just in love with people and not looking at everybody as your enemy. Because what somebody else has or doesn't have doesn't make you higher or lower. Make sure you head to the show notes below to sign up, get on the email list, get the Chase God Not Feelings Guide so you get notified as soon as all the goodies come for the book. And as I always like to say, challenge the way you think and you will change the way you live.